Welcome to episode 108 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z. Sort of.
Alright guys, last episode we spun for Category O and got O Maidens in Your Savage Season.
That's what we got, yes.
That's definitely what we got. Alright, so it's a manga series written by Mari Okada, who's a woman. Illustrated by Nao Emoto. Probably pronounced that wrong, no idea who that is. Serialized by Shonen. It was written in 2016, and the run for the manga went from 2016 to 2019, which makes me think there's a lot more to this.
Okay.
Because that's 3 years. Okay. And 12 episodes isn't a whole lot for 3 years worth of writing.
Yeah, but we got an ending.
We did get an ending. Maybe she didn't release every week. Maybe she released once a month. Berserk does that.
That's fair.
It does about one chapter a month. So that's possible. The anime came out in 2019, so it's relatively new. And the
live action show came out
in 2020.
That sounds ridiculous, but this show was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to preface the entire review with, this is something I never would have wanted to watch.
Me too.
I never would have been like, oh, that looks even mildly interesting.
Right, exactly.
But it was decent, and I think I know why.
Why?
It's slice of life.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't have the tag.
It didn't have it at
but
all.
It's slice of life.
It's definitely a slice of life without a tag.
And every slice of life we get is pretty good. Now, there's some weird shit that happens in this.
Of course.
And we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But overall, it was enjoyable to watch. Characters were fairly well written out. Story was there. Dialogue was decent.
Not only were the characters well written, but they were all likable for the most part.
Yeah, for whatever avenue of story they had, whatever personality trait, because they all have one big personality trait.
Right.
It was decent. Well written.
I wanted them all to succeed in the end. Mm-hmm. That's what I took away for it. I actually finished this fairly early.
I was going to say this too. You can tell that I liked something by how fast I watched it. I finished it Monday.
Yeah.
That never happens. That only happens if it's something that's enjoyable to watch, and B, I actually like it.
I found myself wanting to watch the next episode.
So, without going any further, because we haven't given anything up, go watch it.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty decent for what it is. I mean, like I said, I found myself wanting to watch the next episode. Like,
yeah.
I was actually itching for it a little bit. Like,
They did a really good job of ending an episode, but with, I don't want to say cliffhangers, that's not it, but, like, making you want to watch more of it. Not, you know, this is slice of life. It's obviously made towards young women, even boys to some extent. But they do a good job of making you want to watch the next episode, which is something that you don't typically get.
Yeah.
Maybe in a shonen, you know what I mean? Where the protagonist, you know, it's on a cliffhanger. Is the protagonist going to live?
Yeah, I mean, it's just characters and the situations were just interesting. And you just wanted to see where it was going, no matter what it was. There's a few characters that are with questionable morals.
Questionable.
And there's only one downright unlikable character in this, but it was purposeful.
Yes, that's the character he was going to be.
Yeah, so
I don't think there would be any way to write that character and
make
him not unlikable.
And he was just there as a plot device anyway.
Yeah,
shows that girl's journey. But I guess getting to the premise.
There's a group of five girls, that have a literature club after school. And they pretty much just read books. Yeah. It's all romance novels, though. It's all fairly graphic. And they actually talk about how once you start reading a book like this, you have to keep reading books like this, and it continues to escalate.
Right.
So, like, you know, the scenes where things are happening.
And they read, like, sections of the book out loud, like, stuff that they're,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, something you would expect to see in a classroom, not in a literature club, but I guess that makes sense.
Well, I was like, I took it as they were reading out their favorite parts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, like, giving it a voice, I suppose, and then discussing the book. It's a book club, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. I don't remember any of the names.
I don't know. Well, they're all Japanese names, and we are very bad at that.
Yeah, it just kind of sucks because there's so many of them.
I do know one of them, Nina, the pretty one, the white-haired pretty one.
Oh, yeah.
And only because her name's Nina, and it's American.
It's a regular name.
Yeah. Everyone else couldn't tell you.
So, essentially, they're like 14 years old.
Between 14 and 16.
Something like that. And it's a coming-of-age story. They're realizing their sexuality and all that.
Yeah, they're like coming into their own, liking boys and stuff like that.
Which, again, it doesn't seem like something that would be good.
No.
Or maybe not something that seems that would be good. It doesn't seem like something that 30-year-old men would watch.
No.
But it's really good.
Yeah, it's well written. I mean, like we said, we wouldn't go out of our way to watch it. But you know what? If a season 2 came out, I'd watch it.
Yeah. Probably. Anyway, so, you know, they're reading their books after school and all that jazz. They're all embarrassed by it. And the head of the club is, like, I don't want to say religious, but you know how, like, you get those Christian Catholic girls that are, like, super anti-sex? She's super anti-sex.
She's super conservative, without a doubt. She's
carnal desires.
Yeah. She says that, like, 20 times. The one that makes complaints about people, like, touching and stuff like that, which causes the school to ban same-sex relations and stuff.
Or opposite-sex relationships.
Oh, sorry.
For some reason, they, like, apparently same-sex relationships are okay.
Yeah,
they make it a point to say opposite-sex relationships.
And I thought that because of the one girl's... Because the one girl was... All the other girls are straight, and the other girls seem to be coming out as...
Confused, but what likes Nina.
Yeah, she seems to be coming out because she doesn't... The guy she likes is a complete and utter tool. Turns out to be a complete and utter tool. He starts out nice and then turns out to be a complete and utter tool.
And she's not having any of it.
Yeah, no. She was like... And he touches her one time. She pulls away and she's like, don't touch me. Get the... You're an asshole.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that was... I like that story.
And then that episode after that happened, it was pretty much like building up to her.
Yeah, that was my favorite storyline throughout. Was her. Hers? Yeah.
I didn't pick up that she was a lesbian at all. I just thought she had a boyfriend she didn't like.
No.
You know what I mean? Up until she confessed to Nina on the phone, I had no idea she was a lesbian.
Oh.
They didn't drop hints, in my opinion. I didn't see it.
No, I saw it coming from a mile away.
Yeah, I didn't see that at all.
Because it's each girl has a different problem, essentially.
Yes.
And each one's coming into their own difficulties and stuff like that. And that was the only one that wasn't covered.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't. But I thought she was just... realizing that not all boys are boys she would be into, and this one's a jerk off, so go find, you know, build up your self confidence, say no, and go find someone else.
But
I thought that's what it was going to be, and it wasn't.
But it looked like to me they were already covering that with the weird teacher one. So,
well, the teacher's not that weird. The teacher's fairly normal.
No, I'm not saying the teacher's weird, but the weird teacher storyline.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
although he is a little weird.
He is a little weird.
Not a lot. We'll get into that. Anyway, back to the first episode. There's a really f***ing funny moment in the first episode.
Oh,
where,
the end of the episode.
It's hilarious.
So the main character throughout is... It's just an introduction, but the main character is none of the girls that we talked about, and her storyline is, you know, she ends up with a boy she likes and stuff like
lives
that.
Lives next door.
It's the girl next door story, except, exactly. So go ahead, sets the setup.
So, you know, it's the end of the episode, she's home. For whatever reason, she's going in his house.
She goes over to his house, yes.
And for whatever reason, she needs to go into his room. I don't remember why she needed to go into his room, but she needed to for some reason. And she walks in and is jerking off to porn.
Yeah.
And it doesn't show nudity for him, but man, does it get close.
No.
He's got his underwear on with his, and it shows his hand in his underwear.
You know, it has the porn on the screen. And then she runs out and says, and starts seeing sex everywhere.
Yeah, it kind of triggered it for her.
Uh-huh, and it's just like, which brings up my major issue.
That was hilarious, though.
My major issue with this show. And it's not just this show. If you're going to dub an anime, you need to translate the freaking words.
Because, this was a huge issue with the show.
Yeah, because there's a lot of times that they focus on text messages.
Yeah, it's like they're texting back and forth, and you're seeing the text on the phone back and forth, but you're only seeing their reactions. You're not seeing the words.
Right.
It's all in Japanese. And or they're looking at a computer or a DVD cover or something. And it's like, I need to be able to read that stuff.
Yeah, it's important in a slice of life.
Yes, it actually took a lot away.
Uh-huh. And I understand if it's not there in a subbed, because it's just subbed. It's Japanese. But if you're going to translate something, you need to translate everything, or it's don't bother.
Yeah.
And it sucks, because it takes away from an otherwise good show.
Mm-hmm. So that was really funny. I think he chased her out and was like, hey, forget that happened.
I mean, what else is he going to say?
I don't know. So that was probably the funniest point in the entire show for me.
Yeah.
After that, there were laughs. But it wasn't like that.
No. That was just the surprise factor. Because at this point, we're watching the first episode.
It got a little raunchy when they were like doing the reading in the literature club, but it wasn't like that.
No.
That was like a 2 or a 3, and then it cranked it up to 11.
No, but like when we were watching the first episode, we weren't sure what this was.
Yeah.
So, and then I think they needed to make the turn.
You know what this is now.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to be a comedy. Slice of life comedy.
And that was just... This is your jumping on point, essentially. And it doesn't really need to give back, because the writing holds up the rest of the show.
Yeah, it does. So the dialogue, the writing, the characters, the art's okay. They make everything a little fuzzy, which kind of sucks, but whatever. Yeah. It's not the worst.
I mean, well, I guess we should go through each girl's story, but just real quick, because, you know, I don't want to ruin the entire...
Well, I mean, you know, you saw the beginning of the podcast. You should just watch
it. But, you know, at the same time, there's still a lot to this show that's worth watching, even so. So, we already talked about the lesbian angle kind of thing. You didn't realize it. But
the one girl likes Nina, the pretty one. But Nina doesn't know what the heck's going on with herself.
Yeah, she's so confused.
But she was kind of being groomed from a little girl.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I was saving her for last, because one is weird. But the lesbian one is just... Everyone's getting a boyfriend, essentially, all the girls, and she's the only one left out, and then a kid from another school she went with to another school. Yeah. It's like, hey, I noticed you, and they start out, it seems to be nice, and then he keeps texting her, and he's just a...
Well, yeah, they went out on a date and everything, and she wasn't feeling it, but he didn't know that.
Right, but he was just a douche.
He came off as like a pretty boy, preppy boy, like, I'm the cool kid, my shit don't stink kind of kid.
And then he brings his friends over and just makes assumptions, and it's just, he was... And then she's like, this is where she realized she doesn't like guys and stuff like that.
Pretty much.
And that's pretty much her storyline. And then the main story is the main character, where, you know, it's the boy next door. She realized she has feelings for him, and...
Doesn't know how to do it, doesn't know how to get her feelings across to him.
Which is a typical story, but I like that he was the same way.
Yeah, he was fairly similar. To some extent, it's believable, and then to some extent, it's not. You're a 14, 15-year-old horny boy, and people are trying to have sex with you. You're gonna do it. Yeah, it's gonna happen.
It's different, though, with her, because when you look at someone like they're your sister... It kind of...
Sure, but if you're looking at someone like they're your sister, you probably wouldn't date them.
Yeah, but at the same time, but if you've grown up all that time thinking that this girl is your sister, and then you realize...
Well, I wasn't just talking about her, because, like, there was one or two times where she was kind of trying to push the boundaries.
Well, I'm talking
about, kiss me, let's have sex, and he was like, no, let's go slow. But also with Nina, there was a point in time when she was grinding up on him, could feel him, put his hand on her ass... And this is before they were dating. Oh, no, or was this after this?
This was after they were dating.
So maybe he would say no.
Yeah, because, I mean, he doesn't
seem... I'm just saying, a 14-year-old boy with a hot girl...
But he admits... He admits that he's, like, he was sexually attracted to her, and he was thinking about it and stuff like that. He just didn't go through with her because he's not an asshole.
That's fair. That's fair.
But, yeah, so... And that's pretty much it. And they end up together at the end. You know, they overcome their feelings, and they're a couple.
And they agree to go slow and...
Right.
Figure things out as they go.
And then the hare is the crazy leader of the literature club.
Oh, yeah, the sexually oppressed girl.
Yeah. And she meets a really nice guy.
Repressed, sorry. Yeah, she meets a nice guy that likes her.
He's probably the most likable character, and it's most relatable, too.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't done anything stupid or wrong at any point.
He just admits that he likes her, and she keeps brushing him off.
She makes him write a 50-page report.
Right, and he's like... Will you be my girlfriend? And she says yes. And then she's still not, like, acknowledging that he's boyfriend. He's like, and she gets mad when he does other things.
But then she realizes.
Yeah, but, like.
When you're in a relationship, you kind of want to tell the world about it.
Right. There was one point he was talking to another girl, and she got really mad. Another point where he didn't acknowledge her, and he was like, what do you want me to do?
You want me to acknowledge you, or do you want me to not acknowledge you in front of others? Like, which is it? And that's when she kind of realized.
Right. And then they end up together at the end, which I was...
There was one funny moment where she was asking him about experience, and he said, yeah, you know, I felt some boobs once, and I kissed a girl once. And she's like, what? I thought they were going to go the route where she would be like, well, now you have to do it with me. But they didn't. Not that I mind. I thought that's what it was going to be.
The only problem I had with the storyline is that, you know, they made her, like, this ugly duckling story, and then they made it about her looks a little bit, too.
Yeah, yeah, they made her pretty to everyone. But, to be fair, he liked her before.
Yeah, no, I know.
So it's not a huge deal.
But, you know, just the overall writing. Oh, you, without your glasses and your hair tied back.
You look like a model.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you do a couple little things, you look a little different.
I understand that, but it's just, in this kind of show, you don't really need that message.
Yeah, yeah, I don't.
And
there's probably a couple messages we didn't need.
Well, we're going to get one of them right now. Then there's the writer girl.
Oh, yeah. So, one of the members, short, the shortest of the group, short black hair.
She's kind of the emo of the group.
Yeah, she writes fan fiction stories on blogs and stuff.
Here's the thing. She wants to be a writer, And she made a contact with an editor who publishes stuff. But the popular thing was erotica by teenagers. So she was like, I don't really want to write that, but if that's what I need to write it.
And then she was far too straightforward with it.
Right, and that's why she was on the message boards to having sex chats and stuff to figure out how what guys
like. And it was working with those guys. Well, but there's a huge difference between messaging one guy saying, oh, I'm so wet.
Yeah.
And writing a story about it.
Right, and so, but this, she finds out that the person she's been sexting, or whatever it's called these days.
Yes.
Oh, over.
She said, hey, let's meet up somewhere, because she wants to get experience so she can be better at this stuff.
Right.
And she meets up, and it's one of the teachers.
It's one of the teachers.
He's younger, he's probably 20.
Yeah.
But he's still one of her teachers. He notices her, kind of like goes, oh shit, and runs away.
Yeah.
So he, in his defense, he's not a pedophile. He's not trying to sleep with little girls. But he lets shit go way too far, way too many times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like, he says multiple times, I'm not interested in teenage girls, so we're not going there. But if you're going to push this, I'm going to have to teach you a lesson kind of deal.
Like, and he'll lean in to kiss her, and then she freezes, and then he laughs, like, huh, you can't even have a kiss. What makes you think she's ready for sex?
Yeah. And then this one just takes weird turns, because she ends up having a crush on him, and essentially. And then, you know, they end up at a sleazy motel, yeah.
And she's like, oh, let me go take a shower. Whatever. Comes out. She didn't shower. He's like, what's wrong? She's like, nothing. I'm fine. Jumps on him. 69. She doesn't have any underwear on. And the way it was drawn, like the angle, couldn't tell that he could see everything. Looked like the skirt was covering it. But later on.
They do say we see each other's genitals.
Yes. So clearly he did see. And then she unzips his pants real quick and freaks the fuck out because he's soft. And now she's crying, like, oh my god, why don't you like me? And he hugs her, and he's like, look, I'm telling you, it's not you. Right. Essentially, I don't like children.
Exactly.
But that never should have gotten to that point.
Right, no. Not at all.
And there was a couple, that was the most egregious time, but there was a couple other points, like when he leaned in to kiss her. Like, you shouldn't be leaning in to kiss a 14-year-old girl.
Right.
There's a bunch of times like that.
I mean, that whole scene was just there to set up the whole end conflict.
Yes.
So, but we'll save that for... Let them watch to see how ridiculous that gets. And then there's Nina. Go ahead.
But before we get to Nina, I wanted to say, and I should have said this in the beginning. Everything that happens in the show is somewhat believable because it could happen. The problem is they take, like, a kernel of truth and blow it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, like, there could be a relationship with a teacher and student, right? There could be this or that happening in each of their story arcs. It's just they make it way bigger than it needed to be. But that's comedy, you know?
It's also anime.
It's about what you expect.
It's also storytelling. You want it to be big and traumatic and stuff like that. You want it to be, you know, take these unrealistic turns at times. Mm-hmm. Or else it wouldn't be fun, you know?
All right, Nina. So, she was in a dance?
It's an acting thing?
Well, it's whatever, same thing. And
it's not the same thing, but okay.
It's the same. It's bullshit.
No, one requires skill. Well, they both require skill. They both require
one
skill.
One requires a lot more skill than the other. Anyway, yes. So she's in this acting type of group, and you know, there's a what's the name of the guy that runs it?
He's a creep, though.
You know, there's a guy that runs it. He's like the director or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he's essentially grooming her.
Yeah.
And you know, he's taking her out on lunch dates and stuff like that. And her mom's loves it. She's like, oh. You see something in my daughter, take her, do whatever you need to do with her, like get her where she needs to be so she can be a star, essentially.
And this guy is a pedophile.
And as far as we know, he never touched her.
Yes, like, he did. At the end.
Well, I'm talking like when she's like 6 and growing up.
Yeah, but she's like 14.
I know, I'm just saying at that point, he wasn't touching her, he was just taking her out and grooming her, which is still terrible.
Right.
And then she starts to get a little older and he essentially tells her something like, I'm only interested in you while you're a child, once you become a woman, when you have, like, sex with someone, or, you know, whatever, I'm not going to be interested anymore.
Right.
Weird.
It's super strange, because he's interested in the childness
of it. Just the way they draw him is creepy.
Yeah.
This is definitely what the character was supposed to be, and they did it well.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I wanted a fictional character to be molested, but if you're going to make someone like that and have him groom her and everything, you probably should have went all the way.
To be fair, though, she was psychologically screwed up.
Well, his fault.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they did a good job with that part of it.
Writing a character that's really messing that up. They did a great job with that.
Right.
She did a bunch of things to her friends and her friend's boyfriend, and that's something a really f***ed up person in the head would do.
She, like, fell in love with the main character's boyfriend at one point, and the main character is going to admit that she's actually likes him, and then she goes and admits that she likes him instead.
And in front of everybody.
But only after the pedophile guy pushed her to do it.
Yeah, and he's there in the front row, like, watching. He's like, I want to watch you,
right.
You know, be deflowered, but, like, grow into womanhood. So he's there, and he watches her do that.
He make be interesting, is what he said.
Yeah.
It's, and it was real creepy.
From yeah, very, very creepy. And all, this was all, I don't remember when it happened, but she also took her friend's boyfriend onto the train and
right.
made him grope her ass
because
rubbed up against his crotch.
Well, that they were also talking a lot. Like, she was trying, she at first was trying to get him to see that she, the friend likes her and stuff, and it just kept growing.
Yeah,
it was
yeah, like, very first it was just that, like, what do you mean you don't know she likes you?
Right.
But then after that, he wanted to keep talking to her because probably because he wanted to f*** her, but he outwardly said he was talking to her because he wanted help with his relationship with his girlfriend.
Right.
And then she's just like, no, let's do it.
Yeah. So it's, she was definitely messed up. And, you know, by the end, after she punches the pedophile in the face, after she goes to him and says, we're going to do this. And then he kisses her on the stomach. And then
she punches the shit out of him.
Screams and punches him. And I was so happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really good for her.
I was like,
she finally found in herself strength.
Right. But I thought that was going there. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Report him, though. He's doing this to how many kids? Report him.
Yeah, she's still a kid.
And I know, I'm just saying.
And you know how that sometimes that works, especially in Japanese culture.
I know, I'm just saying. Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, I mean, she, like, comes out, like, they reconcile with her feelings over the boyfriend, and, you know.
And then they reconcile and say, hey, you know, we do like each other, but let's take it slow. She's not ready for the sex yet. And although he may be ready for the sex, he's not ready for sex with her because he still sees her as like a little sister-ish.
And a big sister, apparently.
Yeah, because technically she's older.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. I liked it.
It was pretty good. Did you see the ending credit scene?
Which one? I don't
know. The last 5 seconds of the anime.
Where they were
episode 12, when they're on the train.
Yeah?
Yeah, so there's at the very end of the anime, after the credits, there's like a scene where they all kind of look a little older.
Right.
They're all going about their life.
And they're all paired up.
Yeah. So the main character's with a boyfriend on a train.
Uh-huh.
And then they're on the train, they're moving, and there's a tunnel coming. And the train enters the tunnel, and it fades to black, and she goes, it fit. I'm like, what? I was cracking up. It was so unneeded. And how many people are actually going to sit past the end credits? The only reason why I did it is because you said you always do it. So I was like, all right, I got to start doing it now.
Yeah, no.
That was f***ing hilarious.
I always do it. I'm a completionist because of the stupid Marvel movies and the after credit scenes. I got to make sure there's nothing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And anime does it a lot, actually, if you notice.
Yes.
So if you don't, you couldn't miss the ending of this. Like that. That was the true ending of this anime. The parents together to find out.
I can't imagine that if there is more to the manga, I can't imagine why. That's a good ending.
Right. I mean, the main character and the main boy character ends up together. The sexual repressed girl ends up with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Nina came, you know, found the strength within herself not to be a cunt anymore.
And she's been hanging out with the lesbian girl, yeah, so.
Which is probably going
to
happen.
That's probably so. And I don't remember what happened to the writer girl.
Oh, I think she, like, had a job.
Oh, she got lines. Maybe she got a book published or something.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that. I can't remember.
But yeah,
it was pretty good. What would you rate it?
I actually liked it.
That's pretty good.
I think it's a 7.
7. I was thinking 7-8.
Yeah.
You know, if
I think it gets brought down because and it's not really the anime's fault, but the full translation really brings it down.
Yeah. You know what? Before we finish, I actually wanted to say there was like a hot bath episode. It was kind of unneeded. They're all 14. I don't really need to see them. Now, right. Obviously, they didn't show explicit nudity, but there was a lot of skin.
There was,
it just wasn't really
needed. It wasn't needed, but I also kind of get it because they were showing.
Well, it also makes sense to a certain point because the whole show is them coming of age and realizing
sexuality. And it actually showed that those two, that the girls were looking at each other in a sexual way, too.
Which would happen, I would assume.
Right. So it wasn't needed, I agree, because there was nudity in it, kind of.
Yeah.
But I was, at the same time, it wasn't as exploitative.
It could have been way worse.
It wasn't there just to do that. It had a purpose. Yes. It wasn't a needed purpose.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I'd probably give it a 7, maybe an 8. Yeah. It was pretty good. Most of the slice of life get really good ratings.
Right. We like most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ooh. Yeah, compared to the others.
One Piece, Orange and Orin High School. I already got my order.
One Piece, Orin. One Piece, this, Orange, Orin High School.
Me too.
That's funny.
I mean, Orange was another slice of life. It was a music one, but it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
and One Piece is One Piece. I can just watch that.
Yeah, One Piece is
it's just awesome. Good shonen. All right, guys. We are spinning for Category P.
We are.
So get to it. There we go.
There's a lot of P's.
Yeah. Please save my Earth.
Please save my Earth.
We almost got planets, which I've seen a few episodes of.
Please save my Earth. Down. Under planets. There you go.
Ooh, it looks older.
But it's only 6 episodes.
And it's an OVA. Drama, sci-fi, shoujo. Can't remember what shoujo means. Alice, not going to say her last name, once dreamt that she is another person living on the moon. The dream is so strange and so real that Alice can't stop thinking about it. She finds out that some of her classmates are having the same kind of dream. They soon discover that they had been seeing flashes of their past lives as a team of scientists on the moon. Alice and her friends then decide to find the other members of and piece together what took place back then. Well, I guess the dream is also like a... Oh, wait, other lives. Never mind. Complications arise when they realize that everything that happened in their previous existence continued to haunt and affect their present lives.
Yeah, it's 6 episodes long. We're going to see how long they are, though.
Half an hour.
Yeah, that's not bad. 6 half-hour episodes? That's good. And which is also going to be... We're going to have a nice short 2 weeks, because next week's Queensblade, and we only got OVAs left.
Yes.
So, that's going to be like 4 episodes, too.
Alright, guys, next episode... Crap, what was the name of it? Please save my Earth.
Sigh.